morning. It's 9:10 on Thursday, October 29, 2015. If you're joining us online or off net, this is the Senate Finance Committee. We're in Juneau, Alaska, in our state capitol building, the Butrovich Room 205. I apologize for the delay. I had some meetings that kept me out of the chairmanship seat for a few minutes. Before the committee is SB 3001. It's an appropriation request from the governor of the state of Alaska and his administrative team asking to buy out our partners, TransCanada, asking for an increase to a work plan, and asking for a supplemental appropriation of around $13 million. With me this morning in Senate Finance, Senator Olson.
Madam Chair.
Senator Hoffman.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Vice Chairman Michicki.
Good morning.
Senator Bishop.
Good morning, Madam Chairman.
Senator Dunleavy.
Good morning, Madam Chairwoman.
And I'm Senator Anna McKinnon, co-chair of Senate Finance. Senator Pete Kelly is away at another meeting right now. The purpose of this morning's meeting is to hear from TransCanada. Mr. Vincent Lee is at the mic. Welcome to Senate Finance. I would like to recognize other elected officials in the room this morning. Senator Giesel, Senator Costello, Senator Coghill, Senator Stevens. Thank you for joining us this morning. Welcome to Senate Finance, Mr. Lee.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourself for the record.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Vincent Lee. I'm the Director of Major Projects Development at TransCanada. I serve as the commercial lead for TransCanada in Alaska LNG and represent TransCanada on the Projects Management Committee. In late 2013, TransCanada and the state agreed on a Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, that established the material terms for TransCanada holding equity participation interest in Alaska LNG project and to provide gas treatment and transportation services for the state shares of the gas in the Alaska LNG project. Following the passage of SB 138, TransCanada entered into a present agreement, the PA, with the state in June 2014, which formalized the material terms that were agreed to in the MOU. The PA allows either party to terminate. Over the last few months, the governor has been very clear with Alaskans about his desire for the state of Alaska to take on a bigger role in the Alaska LNG project. The administration has testified that it is recommending terminating the present agreement with TransCanada. TransCanada agrees with that recommendation. TransCanada has concluded that it is no longer commercially reasonable for TransCanada to remain in the Alaska LNG project. TransCanada supports the appropriation for buying out TransCanada interests in the Alaska LNG project. It is the state prerogative under the present agreement to terminate TransCanada, and we respect the recommendation of the administration. We are working diligently with the administration on an exit plan to ensure termination occurs as smoothly and reasonably as possible to allow the project momentum to be maintained. TransCanada has been involved in advancing a natural gas pipeline in the state of Alaska for more than four decades and has made significant contributions in the current LNG efforts. Departing the project was a very difficult decision for TransCanada, and we have not made this decision lightly. But we believe it is in all involved parties' interest for us to do so. Anticipating TransCanada's role in Alaska LNG project will come to an end soon, I would like to take this opportunity to wish our project partners and the state of Alaska well in this endeavor to bring Alaska's abundant natural gas resources to the global markets. Madam Chair, I would also like to extend my thanks to invite me here today. And this is my opening remarks. Thank you, and I'm available to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Lee, I think you stated it was no longer commercially viable for TransCanada to stay within the arrangement?
Senator Dunleavy, for the Chair, yes.
Can you explain that, why it's no longer commercially viable?
Senator Dunleavy, for the Chair, One of the objectives of TransCanada involving any project is to find a way to manage our risk. And the best way to manage the risk is that, you know, we have to seek continue alignment with our customer and ensuring that, you know, we could have positive contributions to the advancement of the project. Administration's desire to take over TransCanada interest in the project create a misalignment today. And with that misalignment, it is very difficult for TransCanada to continue on having positive influence in the project. And that is the reason why we don't think there's, you know, it's no longer commercially reasonable for us to be in the project go forward.
Follow up, Senator Dunleavy.
So it's within that context of the partnership between TransCanada and the state that it's no longer viable. From your perspective, it's not commercially viable. You're not saying that the entire project is not commercially viable.
Senator Dunleavy, for the chair, yes, the project is as far as we see, still has a lot of potential. So that's one of the reasons why we like to have an orderly exit, that it would not impact the progress of the project.
Thank you. Mr. Lee, is it fair that you said commercially reliable?
Reasonable.
Versus viable?
Madam Chair, yes, it's commercially, you know, not reasonable.
Yeah. Thank you. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe you said no longer, Mr. Lee, no longer reasonable to continue to participate. And I think you went over some of those points with Senator Dunleavy. But the project, from our standpoint, the state of Alaska's presentation to us to buy out TransCanada seems to be more economically viable, better financial terms for the state of Alaska than to continue, if TransCanada continued and we were obligated to pay the 7.1%. Was that financing differential between what the state could finance it for and what TransCanada could finance it for the midstream, any consideration on your part for as one of the reasons for discontinuing this project?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, no, we have not. The financing analysis in terms of what the state believes that it can finance the midstream costs from other sources versus, you know, the TransCanada current arrangement, that is the analysis, you know, that was done by the state administration. We have not participated in that, and I don't think it is appropriate for us to comment because we pay no role in that report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have any other questions other than I'd like to state that I believe TransCanada was an excellent partner to bring us to this stage, and I continue to believe that we have come farther along in getting a gas line built with this governor than the last five governors, and a lot of that I think has to do with the credibility and the work that TransCanada has provided the residents of this state.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. I would like to acknowledge that Senator Meyer has joined us, as well as Representative Klayman. Mr. Lee, can you speak to the auditing terms? We asked the Department of Revenue for the state of Alaska as far as the bills that we're going to receive. Can you explain to us the process for submitting expenses to the project and how that is done through the project by TransCanada to arrive at the approximately $70 million that we need to appropriate to buy your share or your interest in the project?
Madam Chair, the cost items that TransCanada incur effectively consists of three major categories. The first one is the cash call from the project itself. The second component is TransCanada internal cost for managing the investment and participating in the governance bodies of the project. And and also in for advancing all the other future agreements. The third item is the interest, the 7.1%. We have a process in place with the administrations that on a quarterly basis, we provide update cost report to the state, which outlines all these three items on a cumulative basis, as well as for the period of that current quarter. What we envision is that, you know, following the closing means, you know, following the state paying TransCanada for buying out TransCanada interest in the project, and at the same time transferring our interest in the entity that TransCanada used to invest in the AK LNG to the state, there will be what we call a post-closing adjustment. So then at that point in time, we will provide the state a final cost report, and the state would have an audit right for a certain period of time to come in and audit all the costs, making sure that they are all in good shape and in good order. And to the extent if there's any adjustment at the end of it, you know, then there will be another exchange of monies, you know, depending on who's owed whose money.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions on the auditing component? Senator Dunleavy, separate question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What expertise in terms of seconded employees could remain with the state when we transfer, if we transfer over?
Senator Dunleavy, through the chair, we currently have 15 secondees with the project. So of that, 12 are technical focused person. We have the pipeline lead in the project, so and also another manager who look after the facilities engineering. The people skill set, if I can summarize that, as effectively they have highly pipeline engineering skill, project management skill, project control skills, the technical skill to span across the entire spectrum of design, material, testing, and high-strength steel. So that would be the people that, you know, we have agreed with the administrations that we will be willing to remain with the project for the end of May next year.
Senator Dunleavy, follow up.
No, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Moving on to a different issue. Confidentiality agreements. As we understand it, you have 12 TransCanada secundees, I think is the right word, in the project management team. Can you talk to where they're placed and what expertise your organization has provided to move the project forward?
Well, in addition to the 15 secundees we have in the project, outside the project team, we also have a number of people working on various agreements with the state of state administration, as well as the other parties with the AKLNG. We work on the governance agreements, the expansion terms. Work on the, you know, the we participate in the finance team. We are members of the finance team. We have participation in some of the discussions regarding upstream matters, even though we are not parties, we are not really parties to it, but, you know, we certainly have some interest to party, but not as a party to it, per se. Over the last year, we have move forward on a lot of those agreements. We have made progress on those agreements. There are still differences among parties in a lot of those agreements, but this is a natural course of negotiations. The objective is to, of course, narrow down those issues as we move forward. And I think we have made good progress on that. Some agreements are more challenging than the others. That is what we should expect. From TransCanada perspective, you know, like myself, I'm the commercial lead, so I sit on the governance team, I sit on the governance agreement negotiations, and all the other commercial negotiations as well. There are other TransCanada personnel who play a different role. When we were advancing the firm transportation service agreement with the administrations, we have another TransCanada employees who look after that. Overall, I would say we have made good progress on those agreements. However, there's still work need to be done in order to get to the point where all parties are aligned and allowing the parties to move to the next phase of the project.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Do you have two members then on the project management team, or is it? I knew that there were 15 TransCanada secundees. The administration had proposed a slide, I believe, that said 12, and then they said three were administrative assistants or something like that. Do we have two TransCanada secundees working on the project that are actually on the leadership team or management team of the project?
Madam Chair, yes, we have two TransCanada employees on the leadership team of the project, one being the pipeline lead, and the other one is the person who is the manager of the facilities engineering.
Thank you. Have they signed confidentiality agreements?
Madam Chair, yes.
Thank you. Mr. Lee, you spoke briefly about expansion terms that have been discussed in the project. Can you give us any insight without violating confidentiality agreements as to what that team looks like and where they're at right now in the process for the project in looking at third-party access or expansion?
Madam Chair, without disclosing anything confidential, I would just put it that it involves all parties, including the state administration and AGDC. In terms of progress, it has gone a long way. There's a recognition of all parties that expansions is a very important issue to the state of Alaska, and all parties are working hard to get to the point where we could agree on a set of expansion terms that we believe is mutually beneficial to everyone and will able to satisfy the needs of the state.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Brief at ease. On the record at Senate Finance. We're in room 205 in the Alaska State Capitol. I just wanted to ask privately before I ask publicly a couple of questions so everyone will know what we were talking about. Mr. Lee, was the Attorney General involved in any of the conversations that were that everyone else had to sign confidentiality agreements for?
Madam Chair, the Attorney General has attended some of those meetings.
Mr. Lee, to your knowledge, has he signed a confidentiality agreement?
Madam Chair, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think he has.
Mr. Lee, and this is what I asked you just a moment ago, is that typical business practice?
Madam Chair, no. Our understanding has always been that, you know, people who join a meeting will be required to, you know, to agree to the confidentiality agreement among the parties.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Could you talk to us about the timing of the December 4th meeting and why the administration is asking the legislature to move expeditiously to appropriate the money to make TransCanada whole in a contract that we entered into, pay the interest that you've talked about in your company's expenses on our behalf, as well as the expanded work program. I wouldn't expect you to speak to the supplemental request for our internal operations, but could you speak to those two components and the importance of the December 4th date to the state of Alaska?
Madam Chair, December 4th date is the deadline for parties to vote on next year 2016 work plan and budget. And without that budget, the project team will not be able to carry out any activities at all. In the worst case, the lead party may have to decide to wind down their operations by the end of this year, because there will not be any authority for them to spend any money starting January the 1st. So with that in mind, it is important for the parties who are in a capacity to vote on December 4th to make the appropriate decisions on the next year work plan and budgets, you know, with the intent, I would imagine, that is to make sure that the project will continue on and the progress will not be impacted. The fact that, you know, TransCanada know very well that we are on the way out, it would not be possible for TransCanada to vote affirmatively on that work plan and budget, because otherwise we will be voting in bad faith, and we have to act in good faith under all contracts. And so it is important that the transactions that we are talking about here, the buyout of TransCanada interest in the Alaska LNG project, would have to be complete before December the 4th to ensure the state of Alaska will be in the positions on December the 4th to vote directly related to as to what they want to do with the budget for next year.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Senator Hoffman.
On that point, Madam Chair, has TransCanada officially in writing made the request to the state of Alaska or informed them that they are pulling out, and has that been a board action?
Senator Hoffman, as we understand right now, and that is what the administration has testified, it is at the initiative of the state that would want to terminate TransCanada.
I understand that, but it seems to me in your presentation, TransCanada has decided to pull out. So you're saying that the state action is the action that TransCanada is going to use to say that they left the project, or are they going to initiate and formally request that, because that is an option that they have to terminate their participation in the project?
Senator Hoffman, certainly TransCanada has the right to terminate the precedent agreement as well. We have been focusing in our discussion with the administration at the administration initiatives to terminate the precedent agreement with TransCanada. So we believe the current path is the best path go forward. The scenario that for TransCanada terminate is possible, but I am concerned about if that is to be the case, then the December 4th date vote could also be jeopardized, because the closing of the transaction may not be able to happen in time in that scenario.
Senator
Hoffman, follow.
You're concerned about what if that takes place?
Senator Hoffman, the concern I have is if TransCanada is to exercise the termination right, we have not yet have a plan in place as to how that is going to work with the administration. And without a plan, there's a risk that we may not be able to complete the buyout transaction by December the 4th, which render the December the 4th vote put at risk of the next year work program and budget.
So is it fair to say that TransCanada is interested in terminating the participation in the project has not done so formally, but is waiting action by the legislature to take action.
Senator Hoffman, I think our focus has always been working cooperatively with the administrations on the current path. We believe the current path is the best path forward for all parties concerned. And to the extent if the current path has any hiccup, certainly all parties will have to review the situation and then decide what to do the next steps.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Senator Michiki?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Lee, good morning, and thanks for being here. I'm back to the beginning of your opening statement. I assume that the words you used, commercially reasonable, what I'm getting from you is what you really mean is sort of philosophically comfortable. Would you say that that's a fair statement?
Senator Michiki, yes.
Okay. And I think some of that is just the complication of the arrangement in the 25%. The state's voting, the state's interaction perhaps with TransCanada, that's an unusual piece. And I think perhaps it creates a bit of conflict that makes TransCanada a bit uncomfortable. Would you say that that's a fair statement?
Senator Michiki, the certain of that, but also it's philosophical issues about, you know, what the administration believes in is their priority. When we were brought into the AKLNG project by the last administration, I believe the last administration focus was that they believe having an independent pipeline in the project will be long-term, will be to the benefit of the state of Alaska. The current administration's, I think their priorities and the focus is, you know, to have as much influence in the current process as possible, and perhaps also would provide the state, if the state owned the entire 25% interest in the project, and with the ability to finance it at a lower cost, it would yield the state a longer term economic benefit as well. So it's a philosophical issue related to what is the priority of the administrations.
Senator Michiki, follow up.
I think philosophically I can understand the discomfort. You use the word commercial. I think that translates with the sharing of risk. I think that translates to a potential commercial situation, but I think philosophical is largely a better way to describe it. And I understand, and I think this has been complicated on the split in the 25%, unless both parties were 100% aligned. And I don't blame the state. I think I support Senate Bill 3001. I'm ready to vote. I think it's the right way to go. I do want to tell you that I appreciate TransCanada's willingness to work in advance so that we are prepared to not create any obstacles or scheduling conflicts moving forward. I appreciate your company leaving some key employees in place for the transition. This is a bit of an exit interview. I think you want this project to be successful even as TransCanada leaves, or you might have taken your sort of toys and gone home with your employees. You didn't have to agree to that. So I think you want this project to be successful in the future. So the question I want to ask you about is on the project management team, in the leadership structure, how do you feel about the nomination process? And do you think that the state has the potential to be adequately represented on that leadership, in that leadership structure?
Senator Michiki, through the chair, the nomination process, I think, is a good process. It based upon the very basic principle of best player plays. So you got the best player at the right position in the project, which generally would give you the best product. In terms of the state, whether it would be has a reasonable representation at the project leadership level. I think that the objective of the project has always been that, you know, it is the intent of all parties to provide a fair representation to all involved parties. Now, of course, that still subjected to the best player pays principle. So I think the questions come down to, you know, who the nominee AGDC is going to put forward, and to the extent if they are they're qualified and competent, I do not see any reason why the state would not have a fair representation at the project management team.
Senator Machicki.
So, Mr. Lee, the companies, the three companies that are involved in many partnerships around the world, the decision, the best player plays philosophy, is a process that's generally politically pure, right? You separate politics from the person with the best qualifications that are fit for purpose for that position. So in part of the philosophical discomfort, some of that comes about from the political end that comes from the state side in this project. Do you worry that the best player plays concept could be diluted through political influence?
Senator Machicki, through the chair, I certainly hope that won't be the case. I think the senior project manager, Steve Brown, has done a very good job, and I think one of his objectives, if I understand it correctly, I don't want to speak on his behalf, and you can ask him tomorrow, is to create a stable environment for the project team as much as possible, and you know, shield the project team from all the politics, so that, you know, the project team can focus the tasks that they have in front of them, and making sure deliverables will get done to the quality that it requires and on the schedule that it will set out.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Senator Machicki.
So I want to thank you for your decades of Alaska experience, being willing to invest in Alaska. You were successful with the AGIA license, and your company's willingness to enter into Senate Bill 138, in my view, was gracious. There was significant outstanding liability, and I think you've demonstrated your willingness to be a partner in the state. This may be an unusual, it's probably easiest for you to pick up once, if this relationship is ended, for you to pick up and leave the state quietly, but you have a lot of experience in similar partnerships, particularly in North America. When you think about an exit interview, are you willing to sort of do an analysis of what you think can be improved, things that the legislature can evaluate going forward on making sure that this project is successful for Alaskans? Is that something you would consider, or is it just easier for you to shake hands and move on to the next project?
Senator Machinsky, through the chair, maybe I can offer just a couple of my observations. I think number one is it will be important for the project to have a stable environment, so that, you know, work need to be done will get done on time, and allowing parties to have an environment which people can openly and frankly discuss issues and through that to resolve issues on a timely basis, and allowing the project to move forward. I think, you know, I've heard other parties have talked about alignment a lot, and we do agree alignment is very, very important. There will be differences in opinion and differences in priorities, no doubt. All parties have different priorities and interests. But I think what is important is if everyone have the same goal, all those differences and priorities, there will be ways people going to find to overcome them, because so long you have the same goal, you know, every party will be incentivized to agree to something that at the end of the day still makes sense to everyone and yet be able to achieve that goal.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Thank you, Mr. Lee. I would like to welcome Representative Vasquez and Representative Reinbold. They have been here for some time. Senator Dunleavy.
At ease. And at ease, please.
We're back on the record. This is Senate Finance, 9:45. We're in Juneau, Alaska, the Butrovich Room. Mr. Lee, thank you for continuing to stay with us. Senator Dunleavy.
Mr. Lee, I think it's been touched upon, but has there been an orderly transition plan discussed with the administration? And if so, what does that look like?
Senator Dunleavy, for the chair. Yes, we have been having discussions with the administrations in terms of an orderly transition plan. It's still in the working, but I think we do have a high-level overall approach, if you like, as to how we see the transition will happen. In general, what will happen is that, you know, TransCanada will transfer the entity TransCanada used for investing in Alaska LNG project to the state of Alaska. In return, the state going to pay the cost TransCanada has incurred up to the day of closing, plus the interest. And following that, there will be, as I mentioned earlier, there will be a post-closing adjustment process. At the same time, you know, TransCanada 15 secondees, subject to other parties' agreement, that we'll be happy to have them to remain with the project through the end of May next year. So that's the overall overview of the transition plan.
So if this bill is passed and the relationship is terminated, you're confident that there will be a transition plan in place that will be as seamless as possible?
Senator Murphy, for the chair. Yes, we're working hard on that.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Lee, I want to extend as well the sentiment that Senator Machicki said, that thanks for being here and thanks for doing whatever else. But I don't look at TransCanada's being gone right now. But I would like to go back to one of the earlier comments you made about the commercially residual area, and several of us have been in management and business. As I look at what's going on there with TransCanada, I see that at 7%, 7.1%, and the amount of capital that's out there, it would be a positive thing from a commercial standpoint to go ahead and want to get that kind of return on whatever expenditures that you do have. I went to the bank a couple of months ago or a month ago, and as a preferred customer, I could not get anything. 6% was the best I could get. And so at least from that standpoint, it seems like from a commercial standpoint, you'd want to go ahead and get your 7%. Do you just want to comment on that?
Senator Olson, for the chair. The rate of return is one aspect of investment. The other aspect of the investment is that is the risk.
No risk.
We have not yet reached the final point yet. As we stand today, we need strong support. You know, if we remains with the project, and the reason how we look at that is we need strong support from our customer. And there will be a lot of matters that we would require our customer to stand together with us. The administration has made a decision, if I could say in that way, that it is their desire to pick up the 25% midstream interest. And what we're seeing is that we anticipate it will be very difficult for TransCanada to negotiate reasonable terms in some of the future agreements. And without getting those agreements in the way that it will be satisfactory to TransCanada, we will be at risk of losing our influence in the project. And as a result of that, we will not have the tools to manage the risk. So yes, the return might be reasonable, but without a commensurate means and tools for us to manage the risk, that is what we are concerned about.
Thank you. Continue, Madam Chair.
Senator
Olson. On to another subject. And I want to thank you for, certainly, as we want to look at partners, we want to look at them cooperatively as opposed to adversarial type relationships. Going on to the next thing is that we've got a consultant, Brigden Boykin. Are you at liberty to go ahead and give me what your evaluation is of the consultant that's working essentially opposite of where you're at?
Senator Olson, for the chair. I work with Mr. Boykins as well, and I will put it this way. I think everyone has their own style of doing things, and certainly he has his own style. Yes.
I guess that's one of the questions.
Mr. Lee, I think that could have been said better.
I guess the style is what has us concerned, and the contract that's there is going to be up at the end of the year, and the concern that some of us have here on the Finance Committee is whether it's going to be extended or not. But my real question to you, would TransCanada go ahead, if Ruben Boykin was not conflicted out, would TransCanada go ahead and hire him as a consultant? And if you want to answer the question, that's fine too.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Mr. Lee.
Senator Olson, I cannot speak on behalf of TransCanada as to whose consultant that we would be willing or not willing to hire. I think that decision is above my pay grade.
Thank you, Madam. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Mr. Lee, thank you. Senator Dunleavy.
Mr. Lee, is this the first time in TransCanada's history that a relationship has been ended in this manner?
Senator Dunleavy, for the chair. Partnerships is one of those things that, some of those it works, some of those it doesn't work, and when it doesn't work, there are many, many reasons. It's not necessarily because of one specific situation. Sometimes it could be because of the project not working out, and sometimes because of a party is realizing that they have different interests along the way and decided that maybe the best is for each party to proceed in a different way and come apart. I don't look at this much different than some of the experience that we have in partnering up with other partners, that along the way we find that, you know, our priorities might be quite different. And so we decided that maybe the best is for both parties to come separate. And it is in the best interest to parties if parties arrive to the same conclusions. And so I don't really look at this as any different than some of the one that it didn't really work out for us as well in the past. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Lee, thanks for coming before us today. It's purely a pleasure when TransCanada comes to the table, having had worked with TransCanada from going back to GIA days and working with Tony Palmer and the team that TransCanada brought, especially in, just impeccable people. Really helped me as when I was with the Department of Labor, because we really dove into the manpower and got a really, really good work product for the state of Alaska going forward for this project. But with that being said, I just want to dovetail on Senator Dunleavy's comment, question. Have you, and you've probably been at this point on another deal at some point in time in TransCanada's life, and it's in, and you always try to make an amicable departure because you never know down the road where you might want to be partnered up again with that same individual. Would you agree with that?
Senator Bishop, for the chair. Yes, and also that's why I think it is always easiest and make most sense for all parties to find a way to work together, whether coming together or coming apart.
Thank you. Just one quick follow-up, ma'am, and I'm done.
Senator Bishop.
Just like the question is now, can you give us an example of some of that, maybe transfer of hard assets after if this deal is done? What I mean like from hard assets, engineering documents, those types of things, LIDAR work, you know, has that been determined yet? And if you can speak to that, please do, and if it's confidential, I'll find out.
Senator Bishop, through the chair. Yes, that's one of the benefits of the state taking over the TransCanada entities in the project, because that is the entity that owns or have rights to own all the work products from the project. So, for example, the prefit deliverables that will be available sometime in first quarter of next year, it will be, you know, the TransCanada entity in the project would have the right to have those. And once the state takes over the TransCanada entities in the project, the state will have access to those information directly.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Mr. Lee, I have a couple questions. Let's talk about steel. This administration has proposed to our project management team the idea that we should look at a 48-inch pipe. And, of course, we've had that conversation in our, at least I'll just speak from my perspective, and supportive to see if a 40-inch pipe is economical and if, in fact, it would drive down the tariff rates for in-state gas and is economical. But let's talk about the pipe. Where in North America can we put together a piece of 48-inch steel?
Madam Chair, if I could, the questions you're asking is where in North America is there a place that we can procure the 40-inch pipe?
Correct.
Okay. I'm not a technical person, and I would qualify that starting off with. As far as I understand, I don't believe there is any steel mill in North America at this point in time has the capacity to produce the 40-inch pipe that we are looking at. Just bearing in mind the 40-inch pipe that we're talking about here, it's not just the diameter, but it also has to withstand a significant amount of pressure. This is a very high-pressure pipeline, so the thickness of steel is significant. And so unless there's some major upgrade in some of the North American steel mills, as far as I understand today, there is no steel mill in North America will be able to produce such a pipe.
Where, again, I don't mean to be out of your expertise area, but where would we go to find a 48-inch pipe if, in fact, it's economical for this project to move forward, as has been suggested to us in several meetings?
Madam Chair, again, you know, to the best of my knowledge today, I think the source will be from Japan and from Europe.
From Europe, that's what I thought too. So I appreciate that. I know that we have very much tried to make sure that we could employ Alaskans first and that we would go into U.S. markets and then look at other places to create jobs for American citizens. So I appreciate that follow through. Mr. Lee, we've heard at previous meetings the administration talk about alignment. They've given us some analysis on the upside potential of an equity interest bringing in $400 million annually, and I think that's fair. We had all of those proposals before us when we had SB 138 before us, so we knew that there was upside to carry the debt. And we have been counting on your cash calls, and you have made those cash calls on our behalf. So setting the financial perspective aside, though it's very, very important to consider, the administration asserted that there might be misalignment in the future regarding votes and that the voting structure is fairly complicated. I think I understand some of the complexities, though we don't really know who fills in each of the boxes that we've seen, nor the flow chart of who those boxes, some of which are empty, who those empty boxes report to, and what kind of skills might be in those empty boxes. But we're trying to understand. So we kind of know who will vote our interest and where. Specific to your role as a TransCanada and on the commercial team, have we had any misalignment to date? Has there been an area when the state of Alaska, inside of confidential negotiations, has not come to a consensus? Has there been any impasse that we've reached, or is there any examples that you can share of where we've aligned with your interests, again, that aren't under any provision of confidentiality?
Madam Chair, should TransCanada continue in the project, TransCanada certainly would insist on having a vote at its own discretions in terms of matters that related to the midstream component of the project, because that is the basic tools for us to manage our risk. Going back to from the beginning after we signed the precedent agreement to today, all the roles that we have made in the management committee, I believe, is consistent with the directions of the state as well. We have not yet have any misalignment on any role that has been taken. The fact that, you know, we are in the process of negotiating the future agreements, all parties have their positions on different things. I do see that there are certain things that the state position could be different than TransCanada. Yes. Can it work out over time? I have no idea. I think it's one of those things that, you know, once the intention of the administration is to terminate TransCanada is made, it's very difficult for parties to focus on TransCanada issues. In terms of structure, the fact that, you know, TransCanada own the voting right related to the midstream, and let's say AGDC own the voting right related to downstream, the LNG facilities. Yes, in theory, that could be a situation in the future that, you know, our decisions could be different than the state. That's in theory we could. I would say, you know, all along, we have been quite successful somehow finding a way to work together with the state and be able to come to a consensus in terms of the directions that, you know, how we should take the vote. But again, you know, that's in theory, it is correct that we could have misalignment in the future.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. You asserted risk, and as the administration came before us, they asserted misalignment on voting rights and direct access to information, and I think that those are valid concerns for the legislature's consideration. When you talk about risk, to be very clear for the people of Alaska, because again, I believe that I've heard it from the state of Alaska that TransCanada is bearing no risk. And when they talk about that, I believe they were referring to the state of Alaska will be obligated to pay bills that under the project terms are allowable expenses to submit to the project. And we are paying a 7.1% interest up I believe, until construction of all of those costs or cash advances. You separated those calls into three different pieces, I think. You said it was calls for cash, your internal management, the structure to support it, and the interest as far as what that goes to. So is TransCanada's risk the specific management of the project, and without those direct voting access rights that you are asserting that you wouldn't have control from a corporate level to the actual cost of the pipeline and then in turn the tariff itself?
Madam Chair, risk coming in different factions, and one is cost control, yes, but there are many other things, and what is difficult for one to quantify the risk today is what is the unknown in the futures out there that we do not know. And those are the risks, in fact, more important to us is we do not know what might be out there today, and down the road, let's say the market change or certain situations arises that no one has ever anticipated. Those are things that, you know, your influence in the decision making is important.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. To clarify, is it 7.1% to feed and 6.75% interest from feed to construction? Is that a more accurate reflection of the percentages, do you recall?
The two steps, Madam Chair, the two steps here, one is through the end of second year of operations, you know, from the beginning of the development phase to the end of second year of operations, the rate of return, if the 30 years U.S. Treasury rate stay the same as of the day that we execute the present agreement with the state of Alaska, it will be 7.1%. And then following this, at the end of the second year of operations, the rate will drop down to 6.75.
Thank you for clarifying that, Mr. Lee. Any further comments from committee members? Mr. Lee, Senator Machicki.
Hi, Mr. Lee, I've got to say that although you have a slight accent, your mastery of the English language is impressive. You've been transparent and honest with us, and that's refreshing. It's we often have people here that really think about their answers, and I think yours are quite, you've been quite frank with us, and I appreciate that. But when we talked about some of the things for us to look out for in the future, you talked about for us to continue to strive for a stable environment. And I believe, if I translate your comments, that you're perhaps warning us about an existing unstable environment. And you also talked about the ability to openly and frankly discuss issues and find solutions for those issues, and I'm assuming that means that that hasn't always been the case. So I asked you publicly, and what I will offer is that I think this committee would be very interested, perhaps in a less public, I know you don't want to embarrass anyone, but we would like to sort of collect all of the information you can share with us to help us make this project successful. We are the same team as the administration. We want to help them succeed. So if in your heart somewhere you think that perhaps a letter later to this committee through the chair of some suggestions going forward, if you believe that might be helpful for us, we would certainly be open to receiving that letter.
Thank you, Senator Machicki.
Senator Machicki, for the chair. My comment related to stable environment and the openness and friendliness in discussions is a general statement. I think the discussion among parties has been very open and frank. I think a stable environment is one of those things that we all strive to seek for. It's all come down to, I think, a lot is the consistency in the approach and the messaging and the priorities, so that all parties understand from each other's parties what are the priorities here, so that people can rank within the decision making as to how we can, if you like, trade off interests in any compromise. Any deal that would come together only because the parties are willing to compromise on certain things. No one is going to get everything that they want. So the question is, you know, have an open dialogue and be able to be consistent in terms of what the priorities are, so that everyone can look into it and then decide that how best to tackle those issues and what trade-off need to be made in order for the deal to come together. And again, if everyone has the same goal, it will happen. It may take a little bit of time, but it will happen.
Senator Michiki.
And let me clarify that just a bit more. Companies like TransCanada, ExxonMobil, ConocoPhillips, and BP do projects like this, at least around North America and in several of the cases globally, every day. And our maximum value as the state of Alaska in this partnership is that we learn to at least recognize the values that those parties bring to the table, the people that do these projects every day. I think there's a gap on the state side, and that's the main question I'm asking. You don't have to answer, but I my goal is to help our state operate at that level so that the state gets 25% of value from their 25% investment.
Thank you, Senator Michiki.
Senator Michiki, for the chair, it's difficult for me to comment because I really do not know enough about the state expertise and the structure at this point in time. But I do believe over time, the state with positive actions will get there, if it's not quite yet. Again, I really shouldn't comment too much because I really do not know too much about the expertise across the entire state's team and what plan it might have already been in place to supplement the team and so on. So I would just stop it here.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lee. Mr. Lee, is it true that you're with us this morning because you support the recommendation from the administration to buy out TransCanada?
Madam Chair, yes.
And is it true that you support the approval of the new work plan as proposed by the project and the administration in SB3001?
Madam Chair, as an individual, yes. As a company, I don't think we would comment on that.
Is it true that you are providing continuity and trying to provide resources to stabilize and stand up a project as the governor, under whatever methodology or principles the governor is pushing forward on behalf of Alaska for, being a good business partner?
Madam Chair, yes.
Mr. Lee, sometimes we waltz, and I had to ask my staff what it was to contrast this, but crowd surfing, if that brings things to mind. Sometimes it's a waltz, sometimes it's rock and roll, sometimes it's crowd surfing for younger folks, and that's politics in Alaska, and that's just what it is. But I like to try to be direct, and my 18-month-old grandson gets to see Grandma here. And sometimes people don't understand what we're doing, and we've been dancing today around some important issues for Alaska. And so I just want to be clear what the dance is. This administration has decided to change courses, and it is not clear, at least to me, what that new course is. But the course does not involve TransCanada in that process. And they're coming to the state to buy us out, and we're asking questions, trying to understand what the new blueprint is the word that we've been using, the new plan is for the state of Alaska. And I'm happy to get behind the governor and his team to understand and hopefully push forward on that same plan. But TransCanada is not part of that plan, and that's no small disappointment to me. I think I've come 360 degrees on this, maybe even further. It was a no vote on your licensing for my own personal reasons to support Alaskans. But I was convinced through the past administration that alignment and a good business partner was important to this project with technical expertise, as Senator Machicki and others have said, to keep the politics out of this process. And I still believe that we may be a little bit short on politics out of the process. But I appreciate all that you've done for Alaska. Honorable is a term that I would use to describe what your company has endured in the last 6 months. But you have not asked to exit the program. You have not asked not to be a partner. You are trying to support this administration in our desire to bring home an Alaska gas line project. And I, for one, commend you. The dance will continue, but for my family at home who's watching, this is about legal contracts. And if one person says no, they get their 7.1% interest. And if they don't say no, they and say yes, they get it, or if they remain quiet. And so it's very complex, and maybe that hasn't been clear enough, but the governor's changed course. Our partners have watched, and the governor is asking to buy out TransCanada. And I appreciate your support of his proposal. Any further comments from committee members? With that, we're adjourned.
Thank you.